Okay, so we're diving into some pretty heavy stuff this time. Societal collapse kind of sends shivers down your spine, right? But what's interesting with these articles you've chosen is that it doesn't seem like it's just about the doom and gloom. You're looking deeper, trying to understand what's behind it all, and maybe, just maybe, find some glimmers of hope, some ways forward. And that's what we're all about in this deep dive.
Absolutely.
So we've got Kunstler's The Long Emergency staring us in the face. And then there's the Limits to Growth report. I mean, can you believe that was published over 50 years ago, back in 72?
It is pretty incredible how relevant it still is today.
It really makes you think, doesn't it?
Okay.
And we've got some great minds to help us unpack it all, Dmitry Orlov and Richard Heinberg, both bringing their own unique takes on this.
What I find striking is that even though these sources tackle this from different angles, they all seem to agree on the main challenges. Peak oil, climate change, these are big ones. And then you've got economic instability, social unrest. It all just feels kind of
Falling.
intertwined.
Yeah, like pieces of a puzzle. But instead of a pretty picture, we're looking at a future we'd rather avoid.
Exactly. And that's why understanding how they all connect is so important. It's like a, imagine a spider web, right?
Okay, I'm with you.
Each thread, that's one of these issues we're talking about. And when one thread gets pulled, say, peak oil, the whole web feels it.
Oh, I see what you mean. So, like, the energy crisis throws everything off balance, climate change gets worse, economies go haywire, and then people start freaking out,
Yeah,
leading to social unrest.
exactly. It's this chain reaction.
So let's break down this peak oil thing a bit. Some of our listeners might not be completely up to speed on that.
Sure.
Basically, it's the idea that we've already passed the point of easily accessible oil, you know, the kind of oil we can just pump out without breaking a sweat.
Right.
And as that production starts to decline, our societies, which are completely hooked on this cheap energy, start to fall apart. Richard Heinberg really doesn't sugarcoat it, does he? His take on this is pretty sobering.
No, he definitely doesn't. Heinberg argues that we've built our entire world on this foundation of cheap, readily available energy. Our sprawling cities, intricate supply chains, and globalized economy, they're all vulnerable to even the slightest energy shock.
And of course, this whole energy crisis is directly tied to the other big one, climate change. I mean, we're already seeing the effects, right? Wildfires are raging out of control, crazy hurricanes, sea levels creeping up, and it's only going to get more intense.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where it becomes this vicious cycle. Heinberg points out that as our economy struggles with these energy shortages, we have less capacity to invest in things like renewable energy.
Makes sense.
So we get even more reliant on fossil fuels, which just digs us deeper into the climate crisis.
Ugh, it's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
But this is why we need to understand how these challenges connect. It's not just about bracing for impact. It's about realizing that maybe there are some things we can actually do.
Right, we can be proactive. And that's where these thought leaders really come in handy. Take James Howard Kunstler, for example. In The Long Emergency, he doesn't just sound the alarm, he throws down a
He
challenge.
wants us to completely rethink, like, everything. Our relationship with energy, how much we consume, and how we build our communities.
It's all about it.
He's not a huge fan of suburbia and our obsession with cars, is he?
Not at all. Kunstler pictures a future where we have to rely on localized communities that can support themselves. Kind of like how things were before we got spoiled by cheap oil, you know.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
He even talks about the transition town movement, where communities are already taking action, trying to become more self-sufficient and less reliant on fossil fuels.
And that whole community resilience thing, that's a big part of Dmitry Orlov's work too, right? Especially with his experience of the Soviet Union collapsing. He saw firsthand what happens when a centralized system just falls apart.
Exactly. He makes a really compelling case for the importance of strong social bonds, local self-sufficiency, and getting back to more traditional skills, things we often forget about in our individualistic societies.
Yeah, it's easy to forget how important community is when everything's running smoothly.
Right. But Orlov reminds us that when those systems we rely on start to falter, that's when community becomes essential, not just for support, but for figuring out solutions together and sharing resources.
It's actually kind of hopeful, isn't it? Even with these potentially bleak scenarios, there are these little seeds of resilience being planted.
Yeah.
And speaking of seeds of resilience, we can't forget about the Limits to Growth report. I mean, they were talking about this stuff over 50 years ago.
Right.
It's like they were sending a message in a bottle warning us about the finite nature of resources on this planet. And we're only just opening that bottle now.
And the message is even more urgent today than it was back then.
So they were basically saying that this whole idea of endless growth, more people, more consumption, more, it just can't last on a planet with finite resources.
Exactly. They were really ahead of their time in understanding the dangers of exponential growth.
I'll say it again. They didn't sugarcoat anything. But what's interesting is that even with those stark warnings, there's a glimmer of hope in their report.
Absolutely.
They believed, and I think we have to believe too, that we have the ability to change course, that we can create a future where growth is balanced with sustainability.
The limits to growth isn't about predicting the end. It's a call to action. It's about recognizing that the choices we make today will determine what tomorrow looks like, and that we still have time to choose a different path.
It's about understanding the consequences of our actions, or maybe even more importantly, our inaction. So it seems like a lot of these sources are pointing towards a different way of living, one that's less about, you know, always wanting more and more, and more about, well, connection. Mm-hmm. Connecting with each other, connecting with the planet. And that's where this whole permaculture thing comes in, right?
Absolutely. And permaculture, it's more than just gardening, you know?
Yeah, it seems like a much bigger idea.
Right. It's like a whole design system, a way of creating human settlements that work with nature, not against it.
So instead of bulldozing over everything to build our cities and farms, it's about understanding those interconnected systems we were talking about earlier and actually working with them.
Exactly. Think about a forest, right?
Okay.
You've got this incredible self-sustaining ecosystem where everything's connected. Trees provide shade and nutrients. Fallen leaves decompose and feed the soil. Rainwater is slowly absorbed. It's remarkable. Permaculture tries to bring those natural cycles into our human systems.
Okay, I think I'm getting a better picture now. Can you give me an example? Like, what would this actually look like in real life?
Sure. Imagine a community garden. But instead of everyone just having their own little plot, it's designed with this whole interconnected system in mind.
Okay, I like where this is going.
They're collecting rainwater in barrels to use for irrigation later on, composting food waste to create nutrient-rich soil, and planting companion crops to naturally deter pests and attract beneficial insects. They're minimizing waste, making the most of every resource, and building resilience right into the system.
That makes a lot of sense. So by relying on those local resources and natural cycles, they're less dependent on those big, fragile systems.
Huh.
You know, the ones that could easily break down with energy shortages or disruptions in the global supply chain.
Exactly. They're more resilient because they're not putting all their eggs in one basket, so to speak.
It's like they're creating a safety net.
Precisely. And this whole self-sufficiency thing, it goes beyond just food. Permaculture can be applied to, well, everything. How we design our buildings, how we use energy efficiently, even how we structure our communities.
Like this web of interconnected solutions, all supporting each other.
Exactly.
And this all ties in with the whole simple living idea, right? Which, by the way, seemed to be a recurring theme in a lot of these sources we're diving into.
Absolutely. Simple living is about recognizing that more stuff doesn't necessarily equal a better life. And in a lot of ways, it can actually make us more vulnerable, more dependent on a system that might not always be there.
It's about consuming less, wasting less, and focusing on what truly matters, right? Like community, connection, purpose, meaning.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So for our listener out there who's thinking, okay, this is all fascinating, but where do I even begin? How do I go from reading about these concepts to actually living them? What would you tell them?
That's a great question. And honestly, it's important to remember that building resilience isn't about doing some crazy 180 overnight. It's about those small, manageable steps.
Yeah, like those little changes you can actually stick with.
Exactly. Start by thinking about the areas in your life where you feel most vulnerable, most dependent on that big, complex system we've been talking about.
Like always relying on a car to get around, even for short trips. Or maybe it's being stuck in that cycle of always buying prepackaged food, or feeling like you constantly need the latest gadget.
Exactly. Maybe you could try biking or walking more often, or committing to just one plant-based meal a day that can actually make a difference, or how about just being a little more mindful of your consumption habits?
Yeah, just taking a moment to ask yourself, do I really need this, or am I just caught up in that whole wanting cycle?
It's all about awareness, right?
Totally. It's about recognizing that even those small shifts in our everyday choices can contribute to a more resilient future. It's about taking back some of that agency.
Exactly. We don't have to wait for someone else to fix things. We can take responsibility for our own lives and the impact we're having on the world around us.
And one of the most encouraging things in all of this is that we're not alone.
Right.
I mean, there are people everywhere embracing these ideas, experimenting with solutions, building a better future.
That's what I find so hopeful. It's not about freaking out, it's about being prepared. It's about shifting from that scarcity mindset, that fear-based thinking, to a more abundant, possibility-oriented perspective.
It's really something, isn't it, to see all these folks taking action, building that resilience right into their lives. But it also makes you wonder, what can our listener do? I mean, they've been on this deep dive with us, learned a lot, but where do they go from here?
And that's the question, isn't it? What resonates? It's like having a seed, all that potential, but it needs to be planted. So what calls to you from all of this?
Right. What feels doable right now in your own life? Maybe it's finally getting around to starting that garden you've been thinking about.
There you go.
Or maybe it's something as simple as, you know, learning to fix your own clothes instead of tossing them out.
Absolutely.
Or even just like starting a conversation about this stuff with friends and family. I mean, these are important things to talk about, right?
Definitely. Every little thing, every action, it creates these ripples. And the more people who start making those ripples, well, those ripples turn into waves.
I love that image. It's not about like holing up in a bunker with a year's supply of beans and rice.
Right.
It's about changing how we think, being aware of our impact. It's about realizing we have a choice. We can be a part of shaping the future, not just sitting back and waiting to see what happens.
We're not powerless here.
Exactly.
And remember, resilience isn't just about getting by. It's about thriving, creating a world where we're not just surviving, but truly living, where we value community, connection, and respect for this planet.
Beautifully said. So to our listener, we say, keep those questions coming. Keep searching for those alternative paths. And most importantly, hold on to that hope. Because the future, well, it's still being written. And who knows? Maybe, just maybe, this deep dive will spark something in you, something that could lead to real, meaningful change. That's it for this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring.